Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. We're going to be here for an hour or so, maybe a little bit longer than that, because we have some pretty good programs to play for you today in the old-time radio vein. We're going to start off with an Armed Forces radio program with Bob and Ray. This is from 1957.
With Ray and Bob upon this glorious day, the joy be unfolding with fervent ecstasy. Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona sings to thee. To Bob, 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 and Ray, 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 hark ye and come ye near. Today's the day for Bob and Ray, so lift your voices clear.
Yeah. Very funny mechanical joke to start off today's Bob and Ray show.
Right. Thought we might chastise them for that.
Those are not our fault. I think we ought to clear ourselves of that, too.
I think so. I think we should explain who's responsible for that kind of baloney. Wish I had a microphone near me, friends, but Ronnie Hopper's our engineer, and I think he neglected to see that I had a mic.
He does that once in a while. If you talk up a little bit louder, it'll sound just the same, though.
All right, if I yell, maybe you can hear me okay.
How's that level? Pretty good? You're going over to Fred Falvey's first, I guess, huh?
Yes, we are. Now that I have a microphone, Bob, we can get right over there. And here we are in the workshop of Fred Falvey down in his basement. Fred, you know, is the famous do-it-yourselfer. And I'm sure that he's all prepared to pass along some more of his helpful hints to you today. Incidentally, Fred, the that big wall fan you got going over there. That's new, isn't it?
Well, that's part of a little gadget I rigged up to air condition the basement workshop for the summer. I drilled a hole in the side of our refrigerator upstairs, and I ran a pipe down to this fan. The fan sucks the cool air out of the refrigerator and blows it around here.
Well, that's quite an idea. I imagine, though, it runs your electric bill up pretty high, doesn't it?
No, we keep the refrigerator set just the way it was before. Food gets rancid, but I'll be working down here in the real comfort, even though the hottest months may be bothering other folks.
And so, here we have just another example, my dear friends, of better living by doing it yourself,
yes,
eh, Fred?
This is just another example of better living by doing it yourself. Incidentally, the temperature in here now is down to about 40. I think I'll turn the thing off for a while.
Yeah, well, it should help a little. It's getting pretty chilly here. Tell me, Fred, what tips have you chosen to pass along to the home handyman in our audience this week?
Well, this week, Ray, I'm going to demonstrate how you can cut out one of the biggest items in your wife's budget by making her nylon stockings right in your own home workshop.
Gee, I never realized that it was possible, really, to make nylon hosiery in the basement workshop. I thought it took a great deal of equipment.
Well, it does take some, but I've managed to cut corners here and there. The basic ingredients of nylon are quite inexpensive: water, air, and carbon. Of course, I use regular household air and water. And I have the girls at the office saving all their old carbon paper for me. Then I scrape off the carbon. I have everything I need except this machine here, which blends the ingredients into nylon. One of these costs about $450,000, but I have a friend in the business who got one for me wholesale.
Well, now I notice that you've poured the ingredients into the machine there, Fred.
That's right.
And I wonder if you'd show us just how it produces the nylon yarn.
Well, it's all done automatically, of course, just by throwing this switch. Here, I'll show you.
And there we have it. Nylon yarn produced right in a home workshop. But, of course, you still have the problem now of weaving it into hosiery, Fred. Do you have another machine to do that?
Well, you can buy a hosiery machine, but, of course, that's just a hobby with me here, so I'm doing the weaving by hand in my spare time. You can see that I've got about a quarter of an inch of the toe of one stocking done here already.
Mm-hmm. That must really be a painstaking job, weaving those little fine threads together.
Well, you can't see to do it with the naked eye at all. I hold a magnifying glass in one hand and weave with the other.
And they'll be produced, I suppose, at a fraction of what the same item would cost you in a store.
Well, I don't know what it would cost in a store, but these will run me about $3,000 a pair.
So once again, we've seen an example of better living by doing it yourself in the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things that they should do. You know what? You're lovely. You know what? You're so lovely. And oh, what you do to me. I'm like an ocean wave that's bumped on the shore. I feel so absolutely stumped on the floor. When you dance, you're charming and you're gentle, especially when you do the continental. But this feeling isn't purely mental. For heaven rest us, I am not asbestos. And that's why I won't dance. Why should I? I won't dance. How could I? I won't dance. Merci beaucoup. I know that music leads the way to romance. So if I hold you in my arms, I won't dance. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things that they want to do. You know what? You're lovely.
Again to Bridget Hillary and the News, the exciting true-to-life story of a girl radio reporter who dares to tell the truth in her weekly broadcasts. As our scene opens today, Rudyard Swamp, the president of the Amalgamated Broadcasting Company, is just entering the rehearsal room where Bridget is at work on her script.
Oh, Mr. Swamp, I didn't realize that you or any of the other network executives would be around so late in the evening. I would have taken you for a night janitor, except that they don't wear gray flannel uniforms with carnations in the lapel.
Well, I stayed down on purpose this evening, Bridget, because I want you to know what a fine job I think you're doing for Amalgamated. In fact, there's going to be a handsome increase in your paycheck beginning next week.
One minute to that time, Miss Sullivan.
Just a little token to show how much we appreciate having you on the amalgamated team.
Are you trying to bribe me to keep my mouth shut, Mr. Swamp?
Well, of course not. Those of us on the management team just feel that you're doing a bang-up job, and we want to show our appreciation.
Apparently you've gotten word of the radio editorial I plan to run recommending that Amalgamated be investigated by the government.
You're going to run an editorial recommending that we be investigated by the government?
30 seconds to air time, Miss Hillary.
What in the world would the government investigate us for?
I'm afraid you know the answer to that as well as I do, Mr. Swamp.
Well, I...
You're not broadcasting in the public interest. Perhaps you don't remember, but my fiancé, Clark Damish, was in to see you a while back with the suggestion that you run 3 hours of sustaining cello music every night from 7 to 10. You rejected the idea on the grounds that you have sponsored programs at that time. And I'm going to have to expose you for the money grubber you really are.
But, Miss Hillary, 3 hours of cello music every night is not my idea of broadcasting in the public interest.
You're on the air, Miss Sloan. I'm sorry.
Besides, Damish wanted to do the playing himself, and he's only been taking cello lessons for about a month now.
Mr. Swamp, it's the duty of network radio to raise cultural levels. If Amalgamated won't do it, then I'll have to recommend on the air that the FCC revoke the licenses of all your affiliated stations.
Bridges, you'd be throwing thousands of people out of work just because of one nut who doesn't know how to play the cello.
Your program is off the air now, Miss Hillary. When you didn't show up in the studio, they filled the time with the soundtrack from an old Howdy Doody Kisco.
I've spent my life building this network, Bridget. And I don't want to see the name of Amalgamated rake through the mud just because you and this lunatic boyfriend of yours like cello music.
Mr. Swamp, you've always been good to me. But when this network ceases to operate in the public interest, my responsibility is not to you, it's to the American people.
And so Bridget takes the step that could destroy the network where she's worked for 23 years. Be sure to be with us next time when we'll hear the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission say,
I recommend that we leave the network alone and have that Hillary woman committed.
That's in the next exciting episode of Bridget Hillary and the News.
Repair, and you're heading way up there, do you know the shoes to wear? Make up your mind. To play it safe, your shoes should be the kind that aren't slippery, or you may wreck your vertebrae. Make up your mind.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks. Right.
Bob and Ray. Hillary Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Some of the things you might hear on this program. A late, late movie. Soundtrack.
Hey, yeah, that's right. You may hear that. You may hear another inspiring television criticism from Mr. Paisley if he shows up.
You might hear Aunt Penny's true-to-life radio stories.
And you may hear a commercial.
You might hear Wally Ballou someplace.
All those things are possibilities here on the great Bob and Ray Show.
Right now, just as we promised, here's the regular weekly appearance of our television critic, Crawford Paisley. And you did get here nice and early today. I hope you make that a habit from now on, Crawford, if we ever see you again. Well, what about your review, Crawford? Have you picked a TV show to talk about this week?
Yes, I have, Bob. I happened to stay up for the late movie on our Red Bank station the other night, and I was fortunate enough to see a show that is just about the greatest production of all time.
Well, that's kind of unusual. Most movies you see on TV aren't so new. They're kind of old.
Well, I'm aware of that, Bob, but this one was really a doozy.
What was the name of this picture?
It's called King Kong. And believe me, Bob, if I hadn't had the Morris chair tiled way back, I probably would have fallen out from sheer excitement.
Tilted, you mean?
I don't know. It just says tiled on my script.
I think everyone, of course, is familiar with King Kong. It's been playing around the country for 25 years or more, I guess.
Well, Bob, they have a gorilla who plays the title role. Yeah. And let me tell you that his acting makes J. Fred Muggs look like a monkey.
Well, of course, you can't compare the two, really. Well,
King Kong terrorizes the city of New York in this movie. And how they trained a gorilla play a role like that, I will never know.
Well, look, Crawford, I think
there's one dramatic scene, wait a minute, where he climbs to the top of the Empire State Building. How they got him up there and managed to photograph the scene is one of the marvels of our time.
Oh, look, you're a grown man. You've got to realize
I've seen a lot of trained animals in my time, Bob. But when you get right down to it, all that Lassie and Rin Tin Tin do is run around and bark. I'll bet if you put either one of them up on top of the Empire State Building, they'd be scared to death.
Well, look, I'm going to have to straighten you out on this thing. In the first place, King Kong was played by a man wearing a gorilla suit in a lot of those scenes. And in the second place, he wasn't really on top of the Empire State Building. They just created that effect with trick photography.
Well, I don't know what to say, Bob. It sure looked real.
I don't see how anybody using common sense could think that such a thing might actually happen and be possible, young man.
Well, I guess I just didn't stop to think.
Well, on your future reviews, I wish you'd at least make an effort to think, will you?
Oh, I will, Bob. On the late movie next week, they're showing a picture called Frankenstein. It's got a real monster in it. I'll review that. And I'll bet your listeners forget all about this little mistake I made today.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Crawford.
We lived our little drama, we kissed in a field of white, and stars fell on Alabama last night. I can't forget the glamour, your eyes held a tender light, while stars fell on Alabama last night. I never planned in my imagination a situation so heavenly, a fairyland where no one else could enter, and in the center, just you and me. My heart beat like a hammer, my arms wound around you tight, and stars fell on Alabama last night. We lived our drama, we kissed in a field of white, and stars fell on Alabama last night. I can't forget the glamour. Your eyes held a tender light, and stars fractured Bama last night. I never planned in my imagination a situation so heavenly, a fairyland where no one else could enter, and in the center, just you and me. My heart beat just like a hammer, arms wound around you tight, while stars fell on Alabama last night.
Bob and Ray Late Late Show. Today we feature a 1931 motion picture for the first time, the soundtrack of this film on radio called Varsity Varieties. And it stars Fatso Cromwell as the hero at State University. We'll be ready to go in just 30 seconds. So now to the soundtrack of today's Late Late Show.
Hey, Eddie!
Yeah?
What dorm are you in this fall?
B7.
Oh, yeah? I'm over at Muldoon Hall.
Hey, you gonna play in the big game Saturday?
I don't know. It all depends on what I get in my grades.
Yeah, well, the coach has been pretty strict about that.
Yeah, the new director of athletics. I don't know, he's pretty tough. I don't know how to figure him.
Well, I'll see you down the malt shop a little later.
Okay, so long, Ed. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. Just heading over to the malt shop.
I'd like to get down, but I have to do some lab work. So I have to bone up on my chemistry, or I won't play in the big game against Tech.
Going to be a big game between State and Tech Saturday.
Yeah.
Wish I could play instead of being just a water boy.
Well, you're puny, aren't you?
Yeah. I feel just like Johnny Downs sitting there on the bench all the time.
Well, you puny guys seem to get all the girls at the dance anyway.
Works out that way.
We football heroes show up, you know, with adhesive tape on our face and like that and a couple of teeth out.
Yeah.
The girls don't go for it.
Well, you don't look so attractive that
way. I don't know about that song. You know, I'd like to be a football hero.
Yeah.
But it's the way it goes.
Well, I'll see you over the malt shop.
I'd like
later.
To be a football. So long! Whatever your name was.
Coach?
Yeah?
I'm the director of athletics here.
Well, I hope you won't be interfering with the
game
here.
I just have
today.
The chemistry grades on McGlinchey.
Yeah, what about McGlinchey?
Get
him
out of uniform.
Fullback.
I don't care what he is. His chemistry grades are not up to snuff.
You
mean, not up to the standards of State.
You mean McGlinchey can't play today while we'll lose the game?
He not only will play, he'll be on the 5 o'clock train home. But bum.
Well, Coach, I got the water pails here. Gee, I wish you'd let me play today. I got into this uniform just in case.
Stevie, I think I may have to use you.
Why, what do you mean?
McGlinchey's flunked his chemistry grades.
McGlinchey? You
he's
mean
out.
McGlinchey won't be playing today?
I'm afraid he won't be in the big... He won't be...
But
oh.
he's a...
I know
he's a star...
Of course he is.
You mean I might get...
Shut up. Go on in there and get McGlinchey's suit.
Right, Coach.
Hey, get a load of him in McGlinchey's suit.
Oh, you guys shut up now. Coach has given me my big chance.
The sleeves are down on the ground there.
Yeah, well, you'll see. All this season I wanted to play football. Now
what, are you got a size 7 foot? To us?
you guys just shut up.
You're going to be on our team? Go on over and play with Tech, will you? We want to win this one.
Yeah, you'll be laughing the other way. Hello, Margie.
Hello.
See you standing here right outside the locker room.
What are you doing
for
in
McGlinchey,
McGlinchey's suit?
Well, McGlinchey can't play. His grades weren't good enough, so the coach is putting me in.
Putting you in and placing McGlinchey?
That's right.
Ha! Ha!
Oh, yeah, well, you'll be laughing a different tune after the game.
The suit doesn't even fit you. You'll be smeared.
Okay, let's go.
Little kid, go!
And who's that out on the field now, taking McGlinchey's place? What was his name?
It's Steve, sir.
My spotter says that,
he's a little puny guy. I think he's wearing McGlinchey's suit.
Yes, it's Stevie, and he's wearing McGlinchey's suit. There's the ball spun back to him, and he starts off down toward the Tech goal. He's running.
Look at that
I've
kid
never
go.
Seen anything like this, ladies and gentlemen.
What broken
it's
field
one
running.
Of the greatest runs I've ever seen in all my years of broadcasting. And he's over for the winning touchdown.
Well, congratulations, Stevie.
Thanks, Coach.
I never realized you were really serious.
Sorry
about
I can't
football.
Stay around, Coach. I got a date with Martin. Well, what do you think now?
My hero.
We just heard the soundtrack from the 1931 feature picture, Varsity Varieties, starring Fatso Cromwell.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks.
Right.
That's all I've
nub with Ray and Bob upon this glorious day. The joy be unfolding with fervent ecstasy. Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona sings to thee. To Bob, 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 and Ray, 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 hark ye and come ye near. Today's the day for Bob and Ray, so lift your voices clear.
You've probably been reading in your local newspapers about this particular show, and we've got some sterling features to present. Our program to encourage young inventors is to the fore. And the winning letter, picked from this week's mail, seems to show an unusual amount of promise. We've flown the writer of the letter here to New York to describe his invention, and he's here beside us now.
That's right. I'm here beside you.
Your name is Ludlow Crumble, is that right?
No, my name is Frederick Flesch. Ludlow Crumble is the fellow I had write the letter for me. Oh. See, I have trouble putting words together so they make any sense.
Oh, well, you have a more of a purely scientific mind, I imagine.
No, I'm just illiterate.
Well, it's your invention that we're primarily interested in, Mr. Flesch. In your letter, you say you've invented a device that will bring color television down within the reach of everyone. Is that right?
Well, it'll make it a lot cheaper, if that's what you mean.
Well, how about telling us how this gadget of yours works, will you?
Well, I discovered this thing quite by accident. You see, I have a black and white TV set.
Uh-huh.
A few months ago, it occurred to me that you could see colored pictures on the set if you looked at the thing through colored glasses.
Just ordinary sunglasses, you mean?
That was the original idea, yes, but the trouble there was that you only saw one color. Well, I was trying to think of a way around that obstacle when I happened to remember those colored tops the kids have. They're painted in the three primary colors. That's your red, your blue, and your yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you spin them around at different speeds, they give the illusion of being all different colors.
Oh, and you tried to apply this idea to your invention, is
well,
that
I
right?
Not only tried, I did it. See, I made up a spectacle lens with red, blue, and yellow stripes in them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I fitted them with ball bearings so they'd spin around in the spectacle frame.
I noticed that those glasses you brought with you have strange colored lenses in them. How do you make them spin in the frames?
Well, that's done electrically. See, this cord going down from the frames just plugs into an ordinary wall socket.
This really is quite an idea, Mr. Flesch, and attracts our interest, piques our fancy. Can you really get the effect of color TV by watching the set through these glasses?
Oh, sure. They work fine. The best part is that I'll be able to make them to sell for about $8.95 a pair.
Wow. Well, a price like that will certainly revolutionize color TV. Can you demonstrate how the glasses work, sir?
Yeah, see, you just put them on and plug them in like this and... Oh, wow!
What's the matter, Mr. Flesch?
Well, I'm being electrocuted. Do something, will you?
Well, I don't know. Has this ever happened before?
No, never. Don't you have alternate current in here?
No, I think this is direct current in the building here.
Well, pull out the plug. These are AC glasses.
Oh, all right. How's that?
Oh, I thought I was a goner there.
Your hair was standing right on end.
The only color I could see was purple.
Well, I think this invention of yours needs a little more work, Mr. Flesch. Why don't you run along and get busy on it back in the lab?
Okay, look, if any offers of financial backing come in, you can reach me at the Turkish bath downstairs. I'm going to try to get this electricity boiled out of me.
So. All right, fine. We'll get in touch with you if we need you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I get too hungry for dinner at 8. I like the theater, but never come late. I never bother with people I hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. I don't like crap games with barons and earls. Won't go to Harlem in ermine and pearls. Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. That's why the lady is a tramp. I like the free, fresh wind in my hair. Life without care. I'm broke, it's old. Hate California, it's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp. Thank you. like the fitter, but I never come late. I never bother with people I hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. I don't like crap games with those barons and earls. Won't go to Harlem in my ermine and pearls. Won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. That's why the lady is a tramp. I like the free, fresh wind in my hair. Life without care. I'm broke, it's oak. Hate California, 'cause it's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady, I'm telling you, baby, that's why the lady is a
another episode of The Gathering Dusk, the heartwarming story of a bedridden girl who ignores her illness to be overcome by the indifference of the world around her. As we look in on the Bessinger household today, Edna is resting on the banister of the basement stairway. It's mid-morning, and Mr. Fundy, the chief of the Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit, is just entering.
Oh, it's you, Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit Chief Fundy. It was good of you to come so soon.
Well, things were pretty quiet around the office this morning, Miss Bessinger. In fact, I was just playing a game of Scrabble with my assistant when you called and I came.
Oh, is that so? I play quite a good deal of Scrabble myself.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, a bunch of girls here in the neighborhood have a Thursday evening Scrabble club, and I'm the sergeant at arms.
Well, I think it's a nice game. I enjoy it.
Oh, I do. Just last Thursday, I hit the word Quirtus on a triple. I picked up something like 45 points on it.
Quirtus. What does Quirtus mean, Miss Bessinger?
It doesn't mean anything. We have a club rule that you can use any word with a nice sound to it. You know, Quirtus, Swidmore, Swank, Plovet, things like that.
Well, doesn't that kind of take the fun out of the game if you can just make up words?
Well, we don't make them up. They just don't happen to be in the dictionary.
I see.
Emma Schroeder is going on her vacation next week. Maybe you'd like to take her place at our Thursday night games while she's gone. It would give you a chance to meet a lot of attractive girls.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Miss Bessinger, but I do something else on Thursday night.
What?
I don't care anything.
Well, suit yourself.
Well, I'm sure you didn't call me over here to talk about Scrabble, Miss Bessinger. Is there something I can do for you?
Yes, there is, Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit Chief Fundy. It's about the gentleman I've rented the front bedroom to. I was cleaning up in there this morning, and I found this bottle of hooch.
Now, I don't want a man who drinks bootleg booze living in my house.
Well, what makes you think this is bootleg liquor, Miss Bessinger?
Well, you can see for yourself. There's no tax stamp on the bottle. When I took a swig of it, it almost blew the top of my head off. It's hooch, all right. I just hope he hasn't set up a still someplace here in the house.
Well, didn't you read the label on this bottle before you drank the stuff? It's aftershave lotion.
Well, I don't see how aftershave lotion could pack a wallop like that. You sure it isn't a phony label?
Of course I'm sure. It's probably the witch hazel in the stuff that gave you the kick.
Well, it certainly is a relief to know that I'm not harboring a criminal, Red Boiling Springs Alcohol Tax Investigation Unit Chief Fundy. I think I'll just kill the rest of the bottle to celebrate this good news. My stars, I almost feel as if I'm no longer standing in the gathering dusk.
But if the mysterious man in the upstairs bedroom is not a bootlegger, who could he really be? Be sure to join us next time when an even more baffling development occurs in The Gathering Dusk. Let me say it.
You say it, Bob.
This is the Bob and Ray Show, so stand by.
Yosafi, the greatest school on earth. All right, here you are, ladies and gentlemen, here you are. Yosafi offers you a golden opportunity to further your education. Make up the credits you missed before entering the service. Get yourself a higher military rating. Don't be just the face in the crowd. Be a leader among men. Don't delay. See your education officer for details. Then enroll for a course with Yosafi, the greatest school on earth.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back, though, in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks. Right.
Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Bob and Ray on the Armed Forces Radio Network, and from 1957. Now we have an episode of The Easy Aces and Jane Smashes Her Car from 1941.
Ladies and gentlemen, Easy Aces.
Once again, Aniston presents Easy Aces, radio's distinctive last novelty. Every day you hear more and more about a remarkable way to relieve the pains of headache, neuralgia, and neuritis. The name is Aniston, spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. Thousands upon thousands of men and women discovered this way when given an envelope containing Aniston tablets by their own physician or dentist. Perhaps you yourself at some time have learned about Aniston tablets in this manner. If so, you know how amazingly quick it acts. Now, the reason is that Aniston is compounded like a prescription. That is, made up of a combination of medically proven and highly regarded active ingredients. And you know a doctor's prescription is like that. Usually contains not one ingredient, but several. It's this combination of ingredients that makes Aniston so quick-acting. When you have a pain from a headache, neuralgia, or neuritis, you want relief, and you want it fast. So for your own sake, don't you agree that Aniston is worth a try? Especially when it's sold on a money-back guarantee. For if the first few tablets don't give complete satisfaction, you may return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. Ask for Aniston tonight at any drugstore. It comes in tins of 12 and 30 and bottles of 50 and 100 tablets. Well, Jane and her niece Betty, living apart from their husband, needed money. So Jane tried that auction sale idea again, where once she sold her furniture for $400, then bought it back for $250, making $150 profit. But Mr. Ray stepped in this time, and it didn't work, as we can plainly see as we find Jane and Betty later that same afternoon pacing to and fro in the bungalow stripped bare of furniture. Listen.
That was a great scheme you thought of, Aunt Jane.
Well, it worked the first time.
Sure, all we have to do is sell the furniture for $400 and go to the auction sale and buy it back for $250. And we'll have $150 profit. Oh, I knew it was no good.
Didn't it work the first time?
I don't know. I only have your word for it.
Well, it did. Did I know your uncle was going to be there making me bid more and more?
It was a good thing I called him back there. He and Carl bidding away till they got up to $399, and then they thought we'd say $400.
I sure let them have it. I stopped bidding when it got to $399. So, for being so smart and spoiling my plan, let him pay for the furniture. This time, I made $400 profit.
I don't see where you made any profit. You have no furniture.
Well, he's got to send it here. Where else could he send it?
Well, it's 5:30, and it hasn't come yet. If you ask me, he won't send it.
I didn't ask you.
Well, whether you ask me or not, he won't send it. They're trying their best to make us come crawling back to them on our hands and knees. Well, I, for one, won't.
I, for two, won't. Isn't it lonesome here? I sure miss the furniture. And it's so hollow, isn't it? Hello there! I can almost hear my echo.
Oh, stop listening to your echo, you and your scheme.
Oh, now listen, Betty. Did I think it wouldn't work? It worked the first time.
Well, what do we do now, mastermind?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is to find out where the... What do you mean, mastermind? Are you trying to be sarcastic?
No, I'm not trying to be.
Well, I should hope. Well, the first thing I'm going to... What do you mean you're not trying to be? You mean you are without trying?
Oh, stop quibbling.
I didn't quib. You said mastermind, and I
said... Okay, Aunt Jane, then you're not a mastermind. I don't want to argue about it. We've got enough trouble. What are we going to do? At least I had a home here for a while, but now look at it.
Sure is lonesome, isn't it? Hello there! Listen to that echo.
I don't want to listen to echoes. I've been listening to echoes ever since I left Cole. I'm tired of being tossed around.
Now, Betty, is that a way to act? Don't you think I miss your Uncle Ace? Sure I do, just as much as you miss Carl. But are we going to go crawling back to him on our hands and knees?
I don't know, Aunt Jane.
What? With stockings what they are today, I should say not. They'll come back to us, you'll see.
But what are we going to do till they come back? We can't live here without the furniture.
It's awful around here now. Hello there.
Hello there. How are you?
Just fine. How? Oh, Marge, I didn't hear you come in.
Well, who are you shrieking hello at?
At the echo, Marge. Look.
Look at what?
At nothing. Don't you miss something around here?
Miss something? No, I don't think I do. Let me see. There's you and there's Betty.
Yeah, but something else. Sit down, Marge. Have a chair. Or sit on the couch. Now do you miss something?
Oh, sure. Now I do.
Well, finally.
There's no chair and there's no couch.
There's no anything.
Thanks to that marvelous scheme she thought of. Now we haven't even any furniture.
Yes, so I understand.
Do you mean to say they told you they were going to be at the auction sale bidding against us?
No, they didn't tell me a thing till after they'd done it.
Well, where's the furniture?
Well, that's where the trouble starts, Jane. They paid the $3.99 for it and left it there till further instructions.
Oh, and Jane.
Left it at the auction?
That's what they did.
But they can't do that.
Oh, and
it's our furniture.
It was till they bought it.
Oh, and Jane.
Well, I'm going to get that. Will you stop sitting around here saying, oh, Aunt Jane, if you sit here with that hangnail expression, I can't think of anything.
Well, what are we going
to
do?
Well, the first thing you have to do is stop sniffling. It's getting jerky sitting here listening to you. Now, keep your face up. Keep a stiff uppercut. I'll think of something. He can't get away with this. I can just see him sitting there at your apartment with Carl, grinning like a mauled cat. Well, the laugh's going to be on the other foot before I get through with him. And Carl, too. You just wait and see.
Oh, that was a great scheme you thought of, Uncle Ace. I've got to hand it to you. That was real genius. We'd bid them up to $3.99, then they'd have to say $400, and we'd let them have the furniture, and they'd be out of money again. Then they'd come begging us to come back to them. Yeah, that was a dandy, that was.
Just one more dollar. If they'd have bid just one more dollar, we'd have had them.
If. Now you think of the if. Before there were no ifs.
Well,
it was foolproof.
Oh.
And I fell for it. Well, I should have known it wouldn't have worked out. There's only one consolation I get out of it. It cost you $399.
Cost me? You don't think I'm not going to get that money back from Jane, do you? She sold it for $400. She still got the money.
I wouldn't be too sure of that either.
Well, what do you mean?
She's probably spending that money.
Spending it?
Sure, they have to live on something.
But that's the money I spent getting the furniture back.
Oh, no, that's the money Aunt Jane got when she sold the furniture, and it's hers to spend.
Oh, stop saying that. She's Carl, I'm going right over there.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
So you're the one that's going begging to be taken back. I thought this scheme would make them come to us.
I'm not begging for anything. I want that $400, and I'm going to get it. I better hurry over. Oh, why didn't I take my car when I left home?
Use mine. It's downstairs.
Oh, thanks, Carl. Where's my coat? Oh, here it is.
I think I'll go along.
Oh, no. Now, you stay right here.
But I can tell if Betty is tired of this separation.
I'm not going over there to make up. This is business. And I'm going to tend to it my own way. Where's the key to your car?
Here it is.
If he spends a cent of that money, I'm
yes,
going...
Yes, you'll think of another scheme. I know all about it, Uncle A.
He told them to keep the furniture till he tells them we can have it back, Marge.
Sure, I'm sure. He showed me the receipt he got for it. Nobody can get it without that receipt, if that's what you're thinking of doing, Jane.
Well, I'll get the receipt.
Oh, sure you will. Just ask him for it, I suppose.
I certainly will. I'll call him up this minute.
Mm.
Or better than that, I'll go right over there.
Oh, so you're giving in. You're going to crawl on your hands and knees.
I'm not crawling. I'm going over there and giving my peace of mind. If he thinks he can get away with... Where's my coat?
It won't do any good, Jane. You'll just have to admit they've got you where they want you, and that's that.
Oh, no, they haven't.
Oh, listen, why don't you four stop this wrangling and make up?
I wouldn't even think about it till they give us our furniture back. If they do that, and they promise to behave, then I might think about it, won't we, Betty?
Oh, Aunt Jane, I don't know what to do.
Oh, stop that sniffling. Why did you leave them in the first place, if that's the way you feel about them?
I wish I knew.
I'm going to use our car. Laura says there's some gasoline in the emergency tank, wherever that is. I'll find it. Oh, Betty, will you drive it out of the garage for me? I can't back up very good.
All right, Aunt Jane.
Oh, somebody will have to back Betty's car out of the driveway.
Oh, that's right. How am I going to drive out if your car's in the way?
Oh, well, we'll back mine down out of the driveway.
But there's no gas in it.
You don't need gas to back it out of the driveway.
Well, come on. I've got to go right away and get this off my chin. I'll show them.
Well, what happens with me?
You wait here, Marge. We'll be back with the receipt for the furniture.
Yes, I'll sleep on the receipt, I suppose.
Betty, I'll back your roadster down. You back our car out of the garage. You know about the emergency tank?
Yes, I know where it is. You know how to back my car down?
Oh, sure. You just go on and back our car out of the garage.
Just release the brake and back it slowly down.
I know how. Now, let me see. Be careful of the fenders when you come out of the garage, Betty.
I'll be careful.
Oh, what's the matter with this car?
Aunt Jane, there's no gas in that car. Just let it roll down to the street.
Oh, yes, down to the street. All right, let it roll down the street. Well, what am I doing in here then? I could just let it roll out down without being... Oh, I guess I better steer it.
Jane!
What is it, Marge?
Be careful backing down that driveway.
I'm careful. What's the matter with everybody? Betty, did you find the emergency tank?
Yes, don't worry about me. I'm all set. Hurry and back my car out.
I will. It won't move.
Jane.
Oh, what is it?
Take off the brake and let it roll slowly down.
Oh, the brake. Oh, yes. I see it now.
Yeah, that's it, Jane. Now very slowly down.
I'm going slow. Oh, wait, Betty. Don't come out yet.
Well, hurry, Aunt Jane.
Oh, one tells me slow and one tells me to hurry. Did you bend the fender getting it out?
No, it's all right. And there's enough gas to get you over there and back. Back my car out of the driveway so I can get out.
I am. I'm going slowly. Is anybody in back of me?
No, nobody. Back it up.
Jane, be careful. Somebody's driving up the driveway.
What'd you say, Mom?
Be careful. Hey there. Watch out.
Oh.
Hey, who's that?
Here I come, Aunt Jane.
Oh, Jane, are you all right? Yeah, I'm all right, but who hit Benny's car back there?
What's going on here?
Goodness. Dear, is that you?
Why don't you look where you're going?
Why don't you go where you're looking?
Betty, be careful. The car isn't out the car.
Be careful.
Hey, Jane, put your brakes on. You're sliding back.
I'm what? Betty, are you all right?
What happened?
Let me out of here.
All the silly driving I ever...
Oh, Jane, you're still sliding back.
I can't help it.
Get in and put on your brakes.
Oh, no, not me. Betty, be careful.
What did I get into here?
Who's that back there?
Uncle A.
But that car belongs to Carl. Is he hurt?
Carl isn't here. Oh, look at these people gathering.
Oh, here come the police.
Dear, it's all your fault.
How did I know you were backing down here?
Well, how do we know that you were backing down? Stop arguing. Can't you see the crowd gathering?
Hey, what's all this?
Everybody.
Oh, it's a policeman.
Now, you let me handle this, Jay. Now, you just keep out of it.
Who are the drivers of these cars?
Well, you see, officer, I...
You driving this car?
Yes, sir, but it's not mine.
I was backing this car down.
Is this your car, lady?
No, this is hers. She was driving mine. He was driving her husband.
How's that again?
I was backing hers down. She was driving mine out, and he was driving her husband's in.
Trying to confuse the law. Okay. No. You come with me. All bunch of you. We'll see how funny this is when you tell it to the judge.
Hurry, Marge. We'll get a good seat in the wagon.
Well, that's going to require a lot of explanation in court, but it may serve to bring the two couples together again. On every side, people who for years have sought a fast-acting product to relieve the pains of headache and neuritis are learning about Anacin. And it's interesting to know that one reason Anacin works with such incredible speed is because Anacin itself is like a doctor's prescription. That is, it's not just one, but a combination of active and medically proven ingredients. If your own dentist or physician hasn't already given you an envelope containing Anacin tablets, we urge you to get Anacin tonight at your druggist. Keep it always on hand for the time you need it. A-N-A-C-I-N, Anacin, in tins of 12 and 30, and bottles of 50 and 100 tablets. Easy Aces will be back tomorrow night at this same time. When you go to your druggist, note how many different items he carries other than drugs. Look them over and buy whatever you can from him. You'll help him and yourself. This is Ford Bond, speaking for the makers of Anacin.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.